The word servant appears in 462 verses in the King James Bible, a phrase we often see associated with the word. May go something like, my servant, and then the name of the person being talked about. Today I want to talk about what it means to be a good servant and to be a servant of God, and how we know that we are being a servant of God. First, I would like to introduce a few adjectives that we will later call implications of what a servant does, who they are, and what they do. Those things will be obedient, humble, and loyal. The apostles often called themselves servants, a lesson that they learned in humility in John 13, 1 through 17, when Christ washed their feet. He was exemplifying what it was to be a servant. Being a servant is a mark of spiritual maturity. An immature person is very selfish. For example, young children are often very egocentrical. Think of all the young kids running through Walmart, grabbing up every little thing that they want and pleading for it in the form of screaming and hollering about how much they need such object. These children are so selfish that they have no concern whatsoever for anyone around them but themselves. But hopefully this, like many other things, changes over time. And as the child grows and becomes more responsible and mature, they begin to be more selfless and think more of the needs of others. And when this change occurs, we would consider them to be maturing or growing up normal. And the people that do not change remain selfish, and we call them immature. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And in James 3, verses 14 through 16, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and vile practice. And of course, we don't want disorder or vile practice. So what prevents these things? A person who serves others. It is certainly not what we would consider selfish, but someone who is concerned with the needs of others and demonstrates mature behavior by taking care of those needs. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And Mark 12, 29 through 31 says, Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Both of these verses tell us there is no greater way to show our love than to sacrifice our own lives and desires, either literally or figuratively, to the service of our God and our neighbors. And it does not have the disclaimer saying that you only need to do this when it is convenient or if you like the person. The book of James speaks throughout of spiritual maturity. I have heard of the first 18 verses of James being referred to as the path to spiritual maturity. And it is a great example. I'm not going to read that today, but if you wanted to make that in your notes, it is good to read. We can make the point that the mark or the sign of spiritual maturity is being a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. We cannot be spiritually mature until we have made Christ the Lord of our lives in baptism. Being a servant has several implications. as we spoke of earlier. Implication number one being absolute obedience. In a slave-master relationship, the slave knows no law but his master's word and must do everything that the master requests. He has no rights of his own. Only by grace of his master does he have rights afforded to him. He is the absolute possession of his master. He has no choice but to give his master unquestioning obedience. And I believe that this should and does talk of our relationship to Christ. Romans 12 and 1, a verse we know very well, says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And in 1 Peter 2 and 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. That is very difficult in our common American society, and I fear that it may be getting worse with the need to be tolerant of others' freedoms. Need, tolerant, and freedoms, all in quotes. We have to come to Jesus on His terms, not our own. Luke 6 and 46 says, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I tell you? And Matthew 7:21 says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Implication number two, absolute humility. Otherwise, full obedience is not possible. When we are puffed up and boastful, how can we possibly follow orders? And on the other side, if we are humble and view ourselves in a manner that allows the Lord to actually rule over us, then we will have a much better time submitting to God's authority. Paul gives us many good examples of this. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 10. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I think that Paul gave one of the best and most often examples of how our attitudes should be. And if we think that being humble and these types of sayings are unnecessary, just remember that Jesus commended and told us that this attitude is good. Luke 17 and 10, he is asking the apostles if a master will thank the servant for following as he was commanded. He says, So you also, when you have done all that you have been commanded, say, We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This also implies that we not only do what we are told to do, but we do them without grumbling or complaining, because that is the type of servant that God wants. He wants us to be grateful and happy for the opportunity that we have to serve Him, and He deserves that. The third implication would be loyalty. Since we become servants freely and of our own will, it should be expected that we are loyal to Him first. It is very important for us to have other loyalties in this life, to our families and our friends, showing them the dedication that we would like in return. But it is not to come but to before our loyalty to Christ. Galatians 1 and 10, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. But it is impressive how often we find ourselves or see in other people claiming to be Christians and servants of Christ while complaining and thinking of how difficult it is to follow the Word of God, or act like a child and chooses not to listen because it's not what we want, and act as though we're being forced against our own will. No one has to serve the Lord. We choose that on our own. But we do know the consequences of deciding not to be. If we don't serve Jesus, then by proxy we are serving Satan. Then the Lord said we cannot serve two masters, and the destination for that decision is eternal separation from God. But by His grace, He has offered salvation. And how could we ever grumble and complain that He has given us the opportunity to have everlasting life with Him in exchange for a short life of service on this earth? These are only a few of the implications of being a true servant of Christ, or being a servant at all. And there are some that will simply not choose to follow Christ and will not choose to live this sort of life. It is costly in terms of service, pride, and allegiance. We must give our allegiance to God. We must give our pride in only in Him. And we must give our service. But it is not only a life of servitude that we embrace when we become a servant of God. Being a servant of God is a great honor. Far from being a title of dishonor, as it has been known in modern society, it was the title that most of which the great men of any of the Bible are known, especially the Old Testament. We hear them referred to as their God's servants all the time. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Deuteronomy 9 and 27. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not regard the stubbornness of this people or the wickedness of their sin. Moses in 1 Kings 8 and 53. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your heritage, and you declared through Moses, your servant, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord. Joshua, in Joshua 24 and verse 29. After these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Caleb, in Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And one of my personal favorite stories of the Old Testament to refer to, Job. Job 1 and 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? There are many more examples of not only these, but other good people being known and being deemed servants of God. We would like to be counted among them, and if not, we wouldn't be here. What an honor it would be to have God count us as His servants. And how good it would be if God looked on us as fellow servants with these great people who found freedom, peace, and glory, but who found it in the perfect submission to the will of God. God will count us among the faithful servants if we are willing to accept the call and serve Him and His Son Jesus with absolute obedience, humility, and loyalty. And of course, we would all like it to be said of us that our name, a servant of the Lord and God, can be said. We would love that to be said of us and to hear well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. It is difficult for us in a land of freedom to understand the importance of being servants, to understand what a life of service would truly be. To give up our rights, if you want to call them that. To give up the things that God has blessed us with and give ourselves to Him. In our society, people are often enticed into serving others because they are told it feels good for you to help others, which is true. But I can make a little bit of a better argument for it. Because Jesus says that we will have a great reward in heaven with Him. And He would know because He made it possible. It has been the theme of many of the invitations recently to do not wait. That being, if you believe in Christ and you believe that He is the Son of God and that to be saved you must be baptized, if you do believe these things, there is no reason to wait. Because we do not know if we will have any other chance but right now. If we can help you in that way, or if we can help you in any other way, as you are struggling to serve Christ and our God, please come forward as we stand and sing.